Hello, everybody, and happy Thanksgiving 2018. This is Dominique Bomonte with Season with Salt, and this is episode 13. Okay, I feel extremely stupid because the wild discovery of the week is something that perhaps I am the only person that didn't know. How come nobody told me that the term swag stands for something we all get? Never, ever, ever knew that. And the funny thing is, I've worked in industries where swag is like normal terminology. Never, ever, ever knew that it stood for something we all get. I was so flabbergasted by that I just pulled my car over and had to really take that in. Swag, something we all get. And I just feel like I've lived my whole life misusing that term. In fact, there have been times when I have questioned the use of that term, not knowing that it stood for something we all get. Somebody else, please tell me that you did not know that, so that I am not the only one in the world that didn't know that. Swag stands for something we all get. Help me out. So in my world, it is Thanksgiving morning. It is 4:15 a.m. And I took an early nap and got up and put a load of laundry in the washing machine so that by 5:50, when my lift shows up, I can be ready and on to hang out with my family in Portland, Oregon. But before I go, I thought it would be appropriate to talk to you all about Thanksgiving and holiday gathering etiquette. First of all, I need to admit that I am not an expert in this area. I do not have all the answers. I do not know who the expert is, and I do not know who has all the answers. I just know what I know because of what I know. How do I know what I know? I have parents, and I have a Bible. I'm not certain how much of that will show up, but I just feel like, also, let me just back up and say, aside from having parents and a Bible, I have also been on the wrong side of holiday gathering etiquette, okay? I've been on the wrong side of holiday gathering etiquette because I did not know what I needed to know. Part of what I know is the result of trial and error. And I just wanted to ensure that because of my experiences, both as a bad holiday guest and as a good holiday guest, I think it's appropriate for me to share those with others, because you need to know that folks are or are not talking about you, okay? So, where do we begin? Let's just start by the basics, because I think sometimes we make the assumption that everybody knows the basics, and the reality is everybody does not know the basics. First and foremost, when you are considering going to someone's home for a holiday gathering, going to someone's community center, wherever it might be, the first question that you need to ask yourself is, have I been invited? This is just the way that I am. you need to come up with your own system. If I was not invited by the host, I'm not going. Like, to me, like, the host, if they would like for me to be there, they will invite me directly. I think this is even more important if you are a person who has appendages, kids, spouses, pets, a wheelchair. I mean, just anything that would prove to be an inconvenience or that would prove to be something that would disrupt the experience for other people. You need to be invited. Now, there are times when you have a mutual person who is facilitating the invitation and so on. But even in those situations, rarely when I participate in those activities, I ensure that I know that the person, I'm that person that's like, so did they say specifically, did you tell them specifically that Dominique Beaumonte was going to be there? Did you tell them specifically that, because I just want to make sure, because I don't want to show up somewhere and it'd be awkward or also, so anyway, I'm going to get deep into that, but I just want to make sure that we have established that an invitation is the beginning of your participation in gatherings. If somebody has a plus one, like that's cool. And in those cases, like you do need to ask questions. So you have been invited to someone's Thanksgiving or holiday gathering, and whether you're plus one or whether you're going, you know, third party or whatever it might be, you know for certain that you're invited. The second thing is that you must not go empty-handed. I believe wholeheartedly, if somebody invites me to their home, I never, ever, ever go empty-handed. Never, ever, ever go empty-handed. And some people will say, oh, you know, don't bring anything. We don't need anything. We've got everything. Bring a plant. Bring a thank you card. Bring something. Do not go to somebody's house empty-handed if you're going to eat. And especially, like, I think sometimes we don't talk about this because we just assume that it just kind of happens by osmosis. But whoever is hosting a Thanksgiving gathering or a holiday gathering, they have purchased everything that you are going to consume, right? Like, you are, like, and if they haven't, like, maybe the turkey that was donated and, you know, Sister Smith brought the dressing and it was potluck style. Still, it took their oven to warm it up. They have to warm their house up so that it's comfortable for the guests. Like, there is a cost that a host pays, like, no matter how the food arrives and whatever. So do not show up to somebody's house empty-handed. Like, come up with get a centerpiece, get a plant, get a card, get a gift card to Starbucks. One of the things that you can do just to be thoughtful is to consider what that person likes. I know I have a friend who really enjoys hosting, and I knew that, like, after she would host, she would be depleted on some of the essentials in her household. Like, she loves Pepsi. And so even if she says don't bring anything, if I bring a 12-pack of Pepsi and I write on it, this is for you, put this in your closet, like, stay restocking the things that you like, then that's just a nice gesture. Because what you don't want to be is a guest who, like, overdoes it. You know, and you can deplete people and tire people, because a lot of folks that are hosting Thanksgiving gatherings and holiday gatherings, whether they cooked or not, they have, you know, labored to prepare for you to enjoy their environment. And so don't go empty-handed and ensure that you're invited. The other thing is that as far as the food, I think sometimes, like, You are not on the Food Network when you go to somebody's house. You are not a taste tester. It is not like, and you cannot go into food situations where other people are hosting with the mindset that you are in the position to be critical about the way that somebody's food tastes. This is of the utmost importance. You will go to some people's house and they will serve you and they will put whatever they want you to have on your plate. If that happens to you today, you need to just eat what you can, right? Like you cannot be at somebody's house disrespecting them for what they have prepared, right? And if there will be, and I have had this experience where there have been holidays and activities where I have not gone home and enjoyed grandma's cooking, and I've gone to somebody else's house, and their food does not compare to, like, Dominique Beaumonte only eats Carrie Kemp's dressing. There have been times when I didn't want to disrespect people, so I got a smidge of bread pudding, like, dressing. I got a smidge of that, and I just sucked it up. I did what I had to do in order to be a good guest. So you are not a food critic. You are not in the position to be judging somebody's food. I think another thing that people often do that I think we need to talk about is, why are you accepting, you know, 5, 6, 7, 8 invitations? Like, no matter what somebody says, like, you know, and sometimes people have a lot of food, and so you get there at like 5 o'clock, and you're like, oh, you know, I'm just coming by because I said I was going to come by, and their families have already eaten, and they're kind of in the deflation mode because most families, like, eat early, and you're, like, coming in, like, with Tupperware and ready to, like, dismantle somebody else's holiday experience. Like, think about what invitations you're going to accept and how you're going to prioritize where you're going to go, and have a conversation with the host about what time they intend to start, what time they intend to serve, and what is a good time for you to come. And if you have multiple places, because folks have multiple places to go, like, start having those conversations now about, you know, well, not now because it's 4 in the morning, but, like, at least send a text message to say, you know, like, do you need anything? I'm going to be able to get there at, like, 3 o'clock. Sometimes, like, I've seen people, like, say, oh, I'm going to stop by such and such's house, and, you know, dinner is being served at 3 o'clock, and you show up at 7, and the people who are left there at that particular time are people that are close to the host, you know, guests, out-of-town guests, and they're, you know, just kind of cooling down and, like, you know, just enjoying family, and then here you come, like, interrupting that, like, getting another plate, like, they've already cleaned the kitchen, they put the stuff up in the Tupperware, and you're coming there to interrupt the ambiance. So be careful of that. I think the other thing too is that, like, be sure not to be overzealous when it comes to taking food home. Because a lot of people, like, they plan to, you know, freeze the food. Now, if they're forcing food on you, now, here, take it. That's one thing. But if you are, like, loading up on food, first of all, half of the people who listen to this podcast are going to be people who will be talked about after they leave. I just know that. I know that people who are listening to this podcast are going to be some of the folks that are going to be talked about after they leave. Because some of y'all don't know how to be. And didn't Harry B. Cole have that book, How to Be? I think I'm going to look in my little library and see if I got that book still, because she certainly had a whole chapter on how to act at holiday gatherings. So be gracious as possible. Don't overdo it. Don't underdo it. You know, like, let the host know that you're appreciative to them. And, okay, so you walk into somebody's house. This is a pet peeve of mine, and I'm realizing that there is a cultural challenge, there's a gap in the way that people know how to do. So if you're a person that has not been privy to certain cultures, I'm just going to talk about what I feel is appropriate in my context. If you go to somebody's house and there are 16 people there And you, okay, I'm just going to blacken this up because this is what I'm talking about. If you go to Big Mama's house, you don't go and sit down as soon as you come into the house. You go find Big Mama first because it's her house, or Big Daddy, or whoever. Find the host. Find, and for the most part, sometimes the host, the hostess, they will be the matriarch or patriarch of a certain family. If they are not, you need to find the host and the patriarch and the matriarch of the family. You don't just go to somebody's house and sit down. Like, you need to find the host. If the host is, like, you know, in the back of the house, in the corner, find them. If they're busy and don't have time for a hug, kiss them on the cheek. Like, you do not go into somebody's house without greeting the host. Everybody's watching. And what I have noticed is that folks do not know how to appropriately navigate going to somebody's house. Find the host first. And it is a way to show deference and respect to those who are hosting, but it also shows deference and respect to family. Like, find the matriarch and the patriarch and let them know that you appreciate them on this Thanksgiving and that you value elders, right? Like, don't just park yourself into a system and without any kind of, like, acknowledgement of the people who laid the foundation and made family possible. That is, like, a pet peeve for me. Like, I believe wholeheartedly that we need to do a better job of acknowledging hosts. And to me, Thanksgiving provides an opportunity for us to, like, sit and talk to the elders of our family and have conversations, like, real conversations with them about family and values and things that they care about. Because a lot of times, like, Big Mama and Papa and whatever y'all call them, like, they haven't seen a lot of different family members, and they've been praying for you, they've been thinking about you, and they want to know that you're doing well, and you've stopped by on Thanksgiving, you know, check in, give them an update, let them know how you're doing. Now, don't do this while they're cooking or in the middle of a conversation. Of course, time and place is important, but check in. The other thing is that, and I'm just kind of giving some generic stuff, but there is the entry and what to bring and how to be in that space and greeting elders and being respectful. But I also think that there is a respect for a host. And I think sometimes, like, and when I say host, I guess I'm just going to tap into some gender roles. Like, a lot of times, like, you know, whoever the primary host or hostess is, I think it's important to, like, be cognizant of how they want to be respected in their home. And that might even mean that, like, if they make a famous peach cobbler, you don't bring one, right? Like, you don't bring, I guess, for me also, like, I wasn't raised in a culture where there's store-bought items, like, just coming in and out of the house during holidays. And so, like, if you have not, first of all, don't go running by Safeway to get something, or Albertsons, or wherever you go, QFC, to get something, like, that would not be edible or something that fits into the culture of the family, the place that you're going. So, like, you're not gonna, like, your apple pie from, like, the Safeway bakery is not going to go far, like, in the house where somebody has been laboring over the stove and making things from scratch. So be thoughtful in that, and, like, don't leave the host with a whole bunch of crap. Because a lot of times, like, you bring that story about apple pie, and, like, the host sees you leaving out the door, and they really want you to take it with you because it won't be consumed. And also, it's a waste of your money because Safeway doesn't raise the price on the apple pie because they know that people are last minute, and so on and so forth. I'm just going to leave that there. Just be thoughtful and be gracious. Your exit strategy. Okay, first of all, know when it's time to go. Don't just be sitting in somebody's house that's not a direct family member, or don't just be sitting there. Like, take a cue from who is leaving as to when you should leave. If the host is, like, nodding off, that's your cue. You need to go. Like, you need to. But before you go, like, I think it's important to know, like, if we're talking about being gracious and considerate, like, how have you contributed to the cleaning up? like straightening up, you know, like I'm like, you know, there are a lot of gender roles that are established in homes around Thanksgiving. And so it might be a thing where like men and kids don't come in the kitchen. If men and kids don't come in the kitchen, then men and kids need to find something else to do, right? It might be a case where, you know, the kitchen is the domain for dad or whomever is the primary cook, or maybe the roles or the responsibilities have been broken up. Whatever it is, find something to do, right? Like, know what your responsibility is. In my family, I'm just straightening things up and decluttering if that's necessary. I try to like provide the centerpiece because I can't cook. Usually I drag my grandma, aunts, uncles and cousins through this whole thing where I'm talking about I'm gonna make something, and sometimes that works out, sometimes it doesn't. But like my intent is to find any way that I can to contribute. And a lot of times, like, people are depleted from like the, they just don't have time. I mean, they don't have the energy to like re-clean, or and they're gonna say, no, that's okay. It's not okay. If you think that it will help them, like, do it. Leave feeling like you didn't just eat and use somebody and now you're gone. Especially if you know you're taking a to-go plate and so on and so forth. So the other thing is like, do pay attention to gender roles, like how people function in their respective family, especially if you're a third party guest or you're a plus one. Like, you really need to be paying attention. If you are like the girlfriend or boyfriend or fiance, or this is your first time kind of being like in those environments, like, you really need to pay attention to like, what are the men doing? What are the children doing? What are the women doing? What's the host doing? What's the hostess doing? Like, what's the matriarch doing? What's the patriarch doing? Like, what, you know, are, what is happening in the environment, so that you are not just, so that you don't feel awkward, but also you can learn a lot about people's families and the way that they operate by just like taking things in and then getting in where you can. So find a way to contribute and do whatever it is that you can to help out and be a gracious guest. And if you can follow these simple things, like, you will be set. I just pray that like somebody is like waking up in the morning and they're like, oh my gosh, what am I gonna do? And then they listen to this podcast and then they go into their guest experience like super equipped. You know, also, I mean, and I'm closing on this, I just wanna say that if you're hosting, and you know you're having guests, you know people are weird, somebody's gonna smell, somebody's not gonna know how to cook, all the dishes aren't gonna be perfect. Like, I think also it's important for a host and hostess to have patience with other people, but also like to be, you know, if you are tired and you are ready to go to sleep and you have been slaving, you know, knowing how to like facilitate this experience where folks know it's time to go, right? Without hurting feelings or making people feel like, you know, they're not welcome in the future. Unless they're not, because sometimes you gotta be like, hey, appreciate you, but you are no longer welcome to come here. When all else fails, do what you can to do what you can. All right? All right, now some advice from Harriet Cole. Harriet Cole wrote a book called How to Be. I'm not really sure where I got B in the middle of her name, but I decided that her middle initial is B. Let's see if I can find that in here. Nope, she doesn't have a middle initial, so I made that up. Very, very sorry, Harriet Cole. Harriet wrote a book called How to Be: Contemporary Etiquette for African Americans. Now, sometimes people think that like etiquette is problematic because people are telling us how to be, or the fact that there is a book around etiquette for African Americans is in some way insulting, because it's in some way saying that like we don't have our stuff together. Nevertheless, this is just 400 pages of best practices, and I have used this book quite a bit, especially in my earlier days, to navigate etiquette, and I really, really, really do recommend it. I will put it in the link so that you can pick it up in the wherever this is. So I'm gonna put it somewhere. I'm gonna make sure that it's somewhere. You don't know about this book because I'm talking about it. Miss Cole has an entire section about Thanksgiving, and I won't read all of it because as I am reading it, I realize that me and Miss Harriet have the same opinion about a lot of things. No, I did not read Miss Harriet's book, but opened this book in about 10 years. Nevertheless, here's what Miss Harriet says, that there are five major points for Thanksgiving. And I'm just going to quickly say that they are: bring something to the table, be on your best behavior, keep a clear head, be of service, and leave when it's time. I have already hit on bring something to the table, be of service, and leave when it's time. But of course, I missed out on be on your best behavior, kinda sorta, and keep a clear head. So let me read what Ms. Cole says about being your best behavior. Ms. Cole says, in the spirit of the holiday, come in peace. That means if you have issues with your family, don't spoil the day by picking fights or holding on to the past resentments. Be fully present in the moment and enjoy the company around you. Thank you, Ms. Harriet. She goes on to say, keep a clear head. Stay away from too much alcohol, which probably won't be a problem in some scenarios, but, well, certainly not mine. Holiday gatherings are prime occasions for rum spiked punches and other such drinks. Watch your intake. Many a party has turned sour when someone has had too much to drink and starts getting loud and ugly. Pay attention, particularly if you are feeling uncomfortable or tense about your surroundings. Thank you, Ms. Call, for sharing that little bit of information, because I think that we need that. So, all in all, friends, we're going to have a great holiday season. I'm going to do some more videos. These are not videos. I'm going to do some more podcasts about holiday gatherings and etiquette and all that kind of stuff, because revisiting this has been helpful to me as well. So thank you all. If you enjoyed my podcast, please rate it. Please leave a review. Please let me know how you feel. I want to give a shout out to a friend of mine who knows who she is, who left me my first review on iTunes podcast. Thank you so much for taking the time to listen to the podcast. I love you all, and just want to remind you that we can have discussions that are seasoned with salt, and that Jesus loves you, and may you have a wonderful, wonderful holiday season.